This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Noelle Lim. OYO is one of the largest and fastest growing chains of leased and franchised hotels and is backed by SoftBank. In Southeast Asia alone, OYO has over 5,500 hotel partners, of which 1,000 plus are in Malaysia. Last year in India, OYO had to deal with complaints from hotel owners and has been described as a bubble waiting to burst, like WeWork, another of SoftBank's investments. This year, in the wake of the coronavirus outbreak, OYO has had to downsize and cut jobs. In the past 2 months, its hotel occupancy rate has dropped to an average of 50% from 60 to 70% in pre-COVID-19 months. To give us more insights about what's happening in OYO is Dr. Mandar Vaidya, the CEO of OYO Hotels and Homes in Southeast Asia, Middle East and Japan. Thank you and welcome to the show. OYO started out as an aggregate and booking platform for travellers looking for no-frills accommodation at affordable prices. It has evolved to a lease and franchise hotel model. What is the difference between these two property categories?
Well, a leased model would be one where, say, we would be operating the hotel ourselves. In other words, if OYO went to a owner of a building or of a hotel and said that, you know, we will pay you a certain rent, let us run this hotel, and we will put up a signboard outside saying this is an OYO hotel ABC, and we physically run the hotel, which means we have our own employees at the reception, our own employees doing the hospital, room service and housekeeping and everything. Then that becomes a lease model, which means that whatever money is earned is kept by us, and all we have to do is pay the lease to the owner. The franchise model is quite different. This is where the hotel operator is an independent business, and they sign up to become a franchisee of OYO, where OYO does everything from bringing the infrastructure up to standard, maintaining service quality, providing them the technological backbone on which they run the entire hotel, and managing their front end and getting them demand from the front end. So we do all of this, and in return, the franchisee pays the franchisor, which is OYO, a certain commission.
In your portfolio of like 3,500 leased and franchised properties in Southeast Asia, for example, what's the breakdown like? Is it mainly leased or mainly franchised?
Mainly franchised. I think globally and also in Southeast Asia, our core business is actually running the franchise hotel business. We do have certain leased properties. They are called OYO townhouses, for example. In Indonesia, we have a fair number of those. We run those more as an exercise to help us understand the market better, because we run these operations. It puts us in the operator's shoes, and also because it helps us to create a certain standard of quality that other hotels around us can then aspire for. And that, you know, helps us to understand the kind of quality that customers require.
I understand that OYO takes about a 20% commission rate. Is that correct?
I would not like to comment on the exact percentage. I think for a couple of reasons. One is, of course, pricing is a competitive advantage for us. We also work through our asset partners, and so this is not something that we can talk about publicly. But suffice to say that the commission percentage is inclusive of multiple things. This entire commission doesn't come to OYO. A part of it has to be paid to other platforms that we run on behalf of the owner, such as online travel agents, such as offline travel agents, and so on. What you're saying, it's roughly in that range.
I've seen your properties in Malaysia, and I noticed they are like in shop lots. Is that the kind of model, the kind of look, or the kind of property that you are going for? What is your target audience?
So our objective is to target those customers who in the past have either had no option of quality hotels because they went to standalone hotels with dubious quality and volatile quality, or even folks who might not have opted for a hotel room because they felt that they would not find a hotel room at a particular price. So we are very definitely a budget hotel. So if you compare the luxury that you get in a five-star hotel, you will not get that luxury in the OYO hotels that you would have seen on some of the main roads and in and around the highways of Kuala Lumpur. But if you talk to the customers who stay in our hotels, the kind of things they're looking for is a functional air conditioning, a clean, pristine room where the linen is clean, all the, you know, the whether it's the air conditioning or the geysers or the television is actually functional. The Wi-Fi is free and has a certain bandwidth. And there are no aberrations in their stay.
So the target audience will be like traveling salesmen, traveling businessmen, maybe even couples who want some time for themselves?
So we tend to get three types of use cases, mostly, Noel. The first is what I would call young millennials, not working professionals yet, or are in their very early stages in their career. Maybe they have been working for 1 or 2 years. So they don't have a lot of money to spare. But they desire a privacy or a place where they can enjoy themselves, you know, and maybe just, you know, hang out for a night or a couple of nights. But the second is indeed, as you said, you know, traveling salesmen or business travelers, but not the kind of business travelers that one might imagine who are wearing corporate suits and flying around in airplanes. We cater more to the SMEs, the tradesmen, you know, the smaller businessmen who need to travel from one city to the other to negotiate for inventory or to buy goods for their shop, etc. So that's the second use case. We also do get a use case where, you know, families, lower income families actually like to have staycations where they would not like to, you know, travel long distances, but actually maybe travel half an hour, 45 minutes and get a little bit of privacy, a little bit of freedom from having to, you know, maintain their home over the weekend.
I appreciate that your geography coverage is quite wide, like Southeast Asia, Middle East and Japan. But if you maybe could just talk about Southeast Asia, what has been some changes in customer behavior as a result of partial lockdown in some of these countries that you are in Southeast Asia?
I think one change we have definitely seen is that where customers are traveling, they are looking to travel distances where they can access these distances in their own vehicles or own transportation. So customers are trying to stay away from public transport. They're certainly staying away from aeroplanes, as far as we can see. And therefore, you know, hotels which are within the city or just outside major cities where you can access in your own motorcycle or you know, car or scooty in 45 minutes or an hour. The second trend we have noticed is that customers are not experimenting with the hotels that they go to. They are trying to stick to hotels which they know about. And so our repeat customer usage is now actually 2/3. So 2/3 of the customers that we are getting in Southeast Asia have actually stayed with an OYO hotel before. And about 70% of them have actually stayed in that same OYO hotel before because they trust us, because they are loyal to us and they know that they can expect a certain quality of service. So that's the second trend, which is a lot of customers going to hotels where they've stayed before and they trust. The third is that customers are looking for quite different things now when they choose the hotel to stay in. So in the past, where people may have looked for something near an airport or a train station, or they may have looked for a property near a beach or a property with a pool, now primarily they are looking to see, can I be confident that this property is clean, hygienic, and as contactless as possible? And so the sanitized stay program that OYO has rolled out, whereby we have created standard operating procedures that OYO hotel owners have to stand by, has proven to be quite successful. And wherever we have a sanitized stay tag for our hotels, we find that those hotels receive almost twice the amount of customers as the hotels which don't have that tag yet. Right now, we roughly cover about between 1/2 and 2/3, depending on the country, of our hotels are covered with sanitized stays, which means they adhere to a certain kind of protocol. When our customers are responding to that by flocking to these hotels.
Given that you have like over 1,000 franchised hotels in Malaysia, do you have a policy on proximity? Like no two hotels can be too close to one another?
As long as our asset owners match a certain level of quality, as long as they match OYO standards in terms of quality of service, then per se, we welcome all hotel owners to come and work with us, and we do not like to turn anyone away. Having said that, what we actually find is that proximity of hotels is actually beneficial to us and not detrimental to us. And the reason for that is that often good locations are what makes hotels successful. And if you do have a good location, then it tends to attract a lot of customers. As long as the service quality is good and as long as we are able to do a good job in terms of presenting that hotel on various online and offline platforms, then we tend to see that customers flock to that location and we are able to fill not one, but two, in some cases, even three hotels. So we actually find that having a lot of Oyo hotels close to each other within a high quality location is actually a formula for success. And that tends to enhance the businesses that the hotels do and not reduce it. There tends to be not a lot of cannibalism. On the contrary, what happens is that the other non-Oyo hotels in the vicinity tend to struggle. But customers tend to see all the different Oyo hotels as sort of belonging to one solid entity, if you will.
What is considered a good location?
A good location is simply defined by something that is accessible to the customers. Accessible in the sense that it is easily approachable either from public transport in the pre-COVID days or by their own, scooties or two-wheelers or four-wheelers today. Something that is safe, that they don't feel worried when they walk into it, as they look at the elements around. And really, that's about it. Sometimes they would look at, whether there are restaurants or eateries close by if they choose not to eat at the hotel and walk around, is that the kind of area that they would like? Our customer base tends not to worry about it being in the CBD or it being right next to the airport. For them, what is more important is it accessible to them, which often means that, it can be close to residential areas or it can be on the outskirts of cities. So across Southeast Asia, there are certain cities, highways are prominent daily modes of commute. Cities like Bangkok or KL, closer to highways, also tends to be good locations for us.
This morning, we have been speaking to Dr. Manda Vaidya, the CEO of Oyo Hotels and Homes in Southeast Asia, Middle East and Japan. After this, we'll discuss Oyo's financial viability and how it has cleaned up its act in response to the problems they faced last year.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back to the show, Dr. Mandar Vaidya, the CEO of Oyo Hotels and Homes in Southeast Asia, Middle East and Japan, joins us today. We talked a lot about hotels. What about homes and workspaces?
We don't really have a significant business in workspaces in Southeast Asia, and that is not something that we are looking to expand into right now. So workspaces are definitely not on. In Malaysia right now, our growth focus is more on the franchise hotels. The budget hotel segment is actually something in general that is recovering much faster than 3-4-star hotels or even homes. And within that, the Oyo direct demand is recovering a lot faster. So given that, I think our focus for Malaysia and for Southeast Asia will be on our core model of franchise hotels.
When the pandemic ends and when we return to some normalcy, would you look again at the workspace business in Southeast Asia?
To be honest, Noel, it is very difficult right now to predict and talk about where we will be beyond the pandemic. But workspaces in general is not really, as I said, one of our core businesses. And so far, we actually don't have any workspace business in Southeast Asia. So that is not something that we are looking to expand at this stage. One doesn't know what will happen in the distant future, but certainly in the foreseeable future, that is not something we are looking to go into. We are right now focused on emerging stronger from the pandemic, and our hands are full, really.
Oyo recruits hotel owners, from what I understand, by guaranteeing a minimum revenue, which means Oyo has to pay these owners regardless if the hotel makes an income. Now that tourism and travel is almost dead, how long can Oyo remain financially viable, especially when it needs to honour all these guarantees?
So Oyo did, in the past, have deals which provided owners with minimum guarantees. But we have switched from that operating model since then. We no longer actually give minimum guarantees to owners. And certainly in the current environment where revenue can move up and down, we've seen in Vietnam and Philippines, there's been second lockdowns. Jakarta announced that, in Jakarta, in Indonesia, there's going to be restrictions on public movements. So this is an uncertain environment and we are no longer providing guarantees to our owners. So we are moving away from that kind of a minimum guarantee model completely.
So due to the coronavirus outbreak, OYO globally, like many companies, has had to downsize and also cut jobs. In April, Bloomberg quoted a source that OYO has more than about $1 billion in cash in the bank and is exploring options to remain viable for at least the next 36 months. How confident are you that OYO will remain in business, say, for the next 12 months?
So, Noel, while I cannot comment on specific numbers, as I'm sure you can appreciate, I am more than 150% confident that we will be viable, not just for the next 12 months, but even longer. We have taken some difficult decisions, but some necessary decisions with respect to people. But we feel proud that the way we have taken these decisions have been respectful, have been consultative, and have been done well within the accordance of the law in whichever country we operate in. But as a result of all of this, and as a result of focusing inward and on technology, we have now reached a cost position in our business that we will survive this crisis and we will emerge stronger. And if the crisis goes on longer than predicted right now, we still are in a cash position that will allow us to emerge stronger from it. But we are not worried about the survival at this stage.
Will there be more job cuts in Southeast Asia?
There are no further job cuts planned at the moment in Southeast Asia. That I can say confidently and with full transparency. But as I said, you know, the way the pandemic is going, one thing that it has taught all of us is that that we can't predict the future. So if all of a sudden across Southeast Asia, you know, hotels are forced to shut down because there is a massive outbreak, then we will take stock at that point in time. But at this point in time, we do not have any further cuts planned.
You are very confident that, that OYO will remain financially solvent, also because OYO is backed by major investors like SoftBank and Sequoia, for example.
I'm confident because we know what we need to do to emerge stronger from the pandemic. Of course, our investors have always backed us fully and they continue to do so. But my confidence does not come from any aspect of valuation or funding or anything like that. It simply comes from being completely confident of the business model and being confident that what we have in the balance sheet is sufficient to help us survive and see the end of the pandemic.
Last year, there was a slew of negative news about OYO. For example, there were accusations that OYO inflated the number of rooms listed on the site, promoted unlicensed guest houses. They declined to pay hotel owners the full amounts due. According to the news report, some hotel operators had filed criminal complaints. One former employee also described OYO as a bubble that will burst. What has been done to clean up the operations?
You know, I would rather not comment on various allegations that were made and things that were in the news in the past. What I can talk about is what our focus has been operationally over the last 6 to 12 months. Is we have focused inwardly to make sure that we are fit to serve. We become efficient, we become lean, and we become more and more and more technologically focused. Our technology is sufficiently adept to rule out all kinds of errors. Our deals, the deals which we make with our owners, are fair, are transparent, are simple, so that it does not lead to any confusion on a monthly basis or a quarterly basis on the kind of money that needs to exchange hands. We are focused on creating SOPs and helping our partners come out of it. And we have rolled out new technological innovations. For example, in Indonesia, we rolled out contactless check-ins, which allows a customer, right from booking the hotel through to reaching the room, to not use their hands to touch anything at all. So we are focused very strongly on providing high-quality service to our customers. And this is reflecting in the numbers that we are seeing now. More than 75% of properties of OYO across Southeast Asia are rated 7 or above in third-party apps, you know, apps belonging to other OTAs. I'm not even talking about the OYO app. The fact that 2/3 of our customers today are repeat customers is telling us that our customers are loyal to us and they're responding to the focus we are putting on customer service in terms of defining the parameters of quality, in terms of constantly doing customer surveys, in terms of seeking their feedback, learning from them, in terms of establishing call centers, chatbots, which are helping us respond to them in real time.
According to news reports, OYO is valued at $10 billion based on its fundraising so far. Is it too far-fetched to think that OYO and Airbnb, one of your shareholders, may be merged one day?
We do not, as a matter of policy, comment on funding and valuations externally. So I'm afraid I will not be able to offer comment on this.
So you're a doctor with an MBA, and then you were a management consultant at McKinsey & Co. Why the shift in career from medical to business?
Yes, that's a that's an interesting question which I've fielded over the years, Noel. I think when I went into clinical medicine all those years back, I did not appreciate the importance that medicine and the practice of medicine is about doing the same thing again and again and again. So, for example, a great surgeon becomes a great surgeon by operating on the same set of surgeries over and over and over again until they perfect that art. While that is a noble pursuit, and I have tremendous respect for my colleagues and friends and my own wife, who is a practicing doctor, for me personally, I realized quite early on that I like to do different things. I like to challenge myself with new sets of problems, and I try to solve those problems and learn from those challenges and then tackle different kinds of problems. I found that that kind of a canvas was more available to me in the field of business, in the field of administration, in the field of operations, rather than in clinical medicine. I'm also learning a lot about technology and the use that technology can bring to the world. That really is at the heart of my switch.
Thank you for speaking with us. That was Dr. Mandar Vardia, the CEO of OYO Hotels and Homes in Southeast Asia, Middle East and Japan. I'm Noel Lim on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.